My wife Marianne was talking to a friend of ours who has immense knowledge about how to use computers and social media in order to promote products and services. Even though he has this knowledge, he has been unsuccessful in every way in applying it. One of the problems is that he is scattered in his thinking. He is scattered in his feelings. He is scattered in his behaviors. So he tries to do a lot of different things in a lot of different directions all at the same time, making little or no progress in any of those directions in terms of producing revenue for himself and establishing some sort of balance in his life. And Marianne said to him, "You need to pull energy from all over the place into a structure." I was struck by that statement. You need to pull energy from all over the place into a structure. That sounded to me like what we do when we bring order to our environments. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. It is also exactly what we do as spirit or a point of consciousness when we begin physical life. We bring energy from all over the place and put it into a structure. We call these structures by different names. You've heard them referred to as the body. The body is a structure. Our thinking is a structure. Our behaviors are a structure. Our health is a structure. Our careers are a structure. Our financial conditions are structures. Our homes are structured. Our religions are structures. Our families are structures, and the list goes on and on, to include hobbies, political parties, communities, possessions, social groups. All of them are our structures. The fact is, we bring energy from all over the place. Years ago, I read a scientific study that said, based upon their calculations, everyone on earth has breathed the same air that Jesus breathed. And so that calculation showed that the molecules of air that Jesus inhaled and exhaled had made their way around the globe through the movement of air and time, and everybody on earth had breathed them in and out. It's easy for me to appreciate the movement of energy from all over the place because Marianne and I travel and I've lived outside of the country. But when we look at our personal habits, it's very easy to see this too. We drink wine from Mendoza, Argentina. We eat chocolate from Belgium. We eat strawberries from Florida, bananas from Ecuador. We listen to music that was recorded in the United Kingdom on my iPod that was manufactured in Asia. All the time, while I'm wondering if my car, made in Germany, needs to have its gas tank filled with gasoline from Venezuela or the Mideast. When you start to think like that, we recognize that we bring in energy from all over the place. We bring order to our environments more or less effectively. By effectively, I mean that when we bring order, we are producing good feelings for ourselves and hopefully others. And as we increase our effectiveness, there is a one-to-one relationship of increasing our happiness. And so that's, to me, a meaningful way to judge effectiveness. If it results in happiness, we're going in the right direction. So let's take a look at how we organize our environments and our structures and how effectively we find ourselves to be. I use the structure of the 12 worlds. It's a concept that's made up. It's one way of looking at things. A viewpoint is a structure. It's made up. But I see it as a convenient way to look at how I organize my own energy, how I apply my energy. And if I consider each of these worlds, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, family, career, financial, social, leisure, political, community, and maintenance, each of those worlds as an environment. And my degree and your degree of happiness in each of those, that'll give you an idea of how you view your own effectiveness. Let me make a point that my sense of effectiveness and your sense of effectiveness don't have to be the same. You have your viewpoints, you have your values, and you can look at it any way you want. But if you kind of scan those worlds and use them, or at least try them out as a framework, it could be interesting for you. Some of the most obvious ways that we try to manage energy is with our thoughts, with our feelings, and with our behaviors, because that's the way we're trying to bring order to our environments. Just think of this fact. You pulled energy from all over the place to create your spiritual world. Now, I could talk about any world for that matter, but I'm going to talk about the spiritual world. That is, your beliefs in God, your beliefs about God, who God is, what God is, how God behaves, what God wants, doesn't want, your beliefs about your relationship, you and God, God and you, and what all that means in terms of your place in this whole scheme of things called the spiritual world. So the question is, how effective do you think you are in your spiritual world? You get to judge that. You're the evaluator of that. But I would suggest that you just notice how happy you are thinking, feeling, and behaving in that world. Does it produce happiness in you? Do you find yourself in a place of hope or faith or love? Or do you find yourself in a place of fear, regret, or shame? They're all marketed to us. Those energies are coming at us from a lot of different angles, and you can identify which ones have stuck by noticing how happy you are in the spiritual world. A lot of these energies that we pulled in from all over the place have created some level of order and perhaps some level of disorder. And by disorder, I mean disharmony. When things fit together smoothly, easily, comfortably, when there's harmony, when things go into an alignment, I think that's when we could say that we're talking about love, we're talking about connection, we're talking about the things of a higher value that we're interested in, as compared to conflict being in opposition or resistance to something. If we have been handed energy from all over the place that puts us into a place of disharmony, we now have the insight, the ability, to let go of it, to choose other energy instead of the stuff that we've either misconcluded on our own or been handed to us by others with erroneous thinking. And as we exchange what has been said to us and what we've been given until we feel better about it, and we can watch our effectiveness increase, our better feelings about ourselves, God, life, other people, our place in life. When that goes up, our comfort with that, with our happiness with that, then we know that we are improving our effectiveness. In the past, I've talked about baking a cake as a metaphor for how we create our lives. A successful, effective baker, for instance, would use the correct ingredients in the correct amounts, in the correct sequence, baked at the correct temperatures for the correct amount of time. There's nothing surprising in that description of what a baker would be trying to do. But what seems to baffle a lot of people is when we don't realize that we're creating our lives in a similar way, except that when the cake or our life or that particular world or that our fitting into a particular environment is unsatisfactory, we could look at the ingredients, in quotes, the amounts, the sequence that of events, the times that are required to, etc., to determine what we've pulled in from all over the place and what needs to be upgraded or changed or improved or left out in a lot of cases. No baker would have a cake flop and then go right back and do things exactly the same way over and over again and expect a different result. Why do we do that? We have something flop, but we go back to doing it the same way over and over again. And I think the answer is because we don't realize that we are using ingredients, again in quotes. Some of those ingredients have been handed down by generational influences, our ancestors, our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, even back before anybody even aware that that information, that point of view, that energy came from way back when. We can get information or misinformation from the next door neighbors, from people, from our teachers, from the media for sure, and recognize that when we use the ingredients handed to us by other people, all of a sudden the results seem to be ineffective. What we don't realize as well is that it is our right and our responsibility to change the ingredients if we want to produce a different result. Let me talk about habits for a couple of minutes. Habits are what we call our standard, well-practiced ways of interacting with energy in environments. It is how we exchange energy with other energy patterns, people and things and so on. Work habits that don't produce results, money handling habits that don't produce peace and happiness, study habits that don't produce learning, all of those things could be improved. And that list goes on too, eating habits, drinking habits, and so on. So what's the point to this idea of bringing order to our environments? Why is that important? I think there are several reasons. First, we can learn to create desirable effects. I believe causing desirable effects is one of the primary reasons we're in physical form, having the lives as human beings. Two, we can experience the joy of increasing our effectiveness. If you can find yourself, and I bet if you would examine this in your own lives up to this point, you would know that as you're engaged in some sort of activity, a practice or a study or learning, that as you improve your sense of effectiveness, it is very exciting, it's very engaging, it's very empowering, it produces a great deal of joy in you. I think that's part of the human condition, that we're looking for those gains, if you will, that give us an opportunity to increase our sense of effectiveness. The third point is that we can have more fun, more success, more health, more happiness, because we can create the experiences that we want to experience as compared to be standing there and have life happen to us. We happen to life, not the other way around, having life happen to us. As we get into this co-creative position or role or point of view, that we can become the choosers of our thoughts, of our feelings, and of our behaviors, I believe that we are then stepping into our true role of co-creator, along with whatever you would call that overriding creative power, capital C, capital P. We generally think of habits in terms of the negative ones, right? Drinking habits, smoking habits, eating habits, nail-biting habits, worrying habits, spending habits, etc. However, habits can really be practice behaviors that produce excellent results. And a key example of that, of course, is when we look at the demonstration of that idea by professional athletes, professional performers, musicians, singers, actors, and others that are on this greater stage of life, if you will. We notice that they have put in an enormous amount of time practicing the behaviors that are going to produce excellent results. We can do the same thing. Archimedes was a Greek from long ago, made famous by his contribution and influence to the areas of physics and philosophy, mathematics, and other areas. And I mention him now because I wanted to segue to another idea, the idea of leverage. Leverage is the idea that a little energy applied to the right spot using the right tool can move a lot of other energy. Now, we think of this playground sort of an example as the seesaw. A seesaw is a lever on a fulcrum, and people have been using that for some thousands of years, lifting weights that trying to lift it. One person trying to lift that weight off the ground would be unable to do it. By using a lever, applying a smaller amount of energy, are able to lift enormous amounts of weight. We're looking to do the same thing when we want to organize our environments, when we want to cause desirable effects, when we want to pull in energy from all over the place and put it into a structure. This is what we want to do as well. We're looking for the ability or the awareness to do this. Here's a story. A little while ago, I was talking to my wife, Marianne, and I described her as a difference maker. Difference maker. When Marianne enters a picture or an environment, that picture, that environment is changed for the better. She has the intention, and frankly, she has the knack of looking for and seeing where to apply her energy that makes a difference for the other people involved in that environment. She is other-serving rather than self-serving and applies her energy because of that. She's certainly a difference maker in my life. She's a difference maker in the lives of our children and grandchildren. And I see the difference that she makes in terms of business activities that we're involved in, the companies. I see it when she deals with clients. I see it with her friends and former associates that she's still interacting with. She is the difference maker. I think we're all looking for that. And there are a lot of difference makers out there. They're available to us in our lives in a lot of different ways. Some people, like Marianne, and you, and me, are difference makers. The more we're aware of that, of course, the more we're apt to be the person who develops the skill to apply our energy to that spot to move a lot of other energy for the improvement of that entire environment. Some of the other difference makers are ideas that are conveyed in books or conversations or in teleseminars or webinars or a lot of different ways. Some difference makers are the demonstrations of behaviors. When we see somebody acting in a certain way or demonstrating a certain sense of being and it catches our imagination and fans that spark of hope or identification and we resonate with it, that's a difference maker. Some difference makers are new viewpoints. Some things, some objects that trigger a new way of looking at things, shift in our viewpoints or our perspective, or are believing about ourselves and life and so on, are difference makers. We can look at the conditions in our lives, the ones that we're experiencing, using, again, the 12 worlds, and we could seek to notice, we could want to notice, we could intend to notice, we could desire to notice what difference makers would serve us the most in each of those worlds or the worlds that are most important to us. On the level of personal responsibility, we could ask, what viewpoint, if changed, would make the greatest difference? What would be the greatest difference maker? What new viewpoint? We can't repeat the same old thinking, the same old feeling, the same old behaviors, and expect different results. The baker can't, we can't either. So the questions we could be asking ourselves very clearly and pretty simply, what new thought would be the difference maker? What new feeling would be the difference maker? What new behavior would be the difference maker? And when we determine that, we would be in a position to be able to pull in the energy of these difference makers from all over the place into the structure of our lives in order to create healing. The difference makers exist within the scope, in my belief system, of God, the source of all that is. The raw material of these difference makers exists waiting to be grasped by our mentality, by our thinking, by our openness, by our feeling, and by our actions. We can have the healing that we want. We can have the energy that we want and bring that into our structures and change our structures to be a truer reflection of who we are as spiritual, physical beings. I would like to end the service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the Creator in connection to all that is. Our relationship with you is the difference maker. We know that. We can know it even more fully. We can tune into you, seeking difference makers in any and all areas of our lives that are important to us. We ask that you use us as difference makers in the lives of others and in the life of the planet. Thank you. It is so. Amen.